From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. The official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, using a transfer on a West Brom goalie. Villa Newcastle is off. Yay, later deadline. And the fixtures demand you journey into the mind of Pep. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. And it's hello to you, FPL manager. How's your week been? I'm James Richardson. I'm joined today on the official FPL podcast by reporter and presenter Kelly Summers. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, James.
Football writer Jack Lang is with us. Hello, Jack.
Hi, James.
And from the FPL family, Lee Bonfield. Woof. Hey, Lee.
Hello, James.
Hello to you. Hey, not an easy week to get points from, FPL manager. But I tell you who got a fat harvest of points, and that was Kelly Summers, 73 points for your side, keen as mustard. Wow, Kelly, what was your secret?
Finally getting some luck, James, I think. It was lucky. I took a 4-point hit for the second week in a row, which is kind of unheard of. I did it about 25 past six, I think, before the deadline. But I trusted my gut. I finally got rid of Son. I'd wanted to the week before, and I stuck with him. And Foden, I was fed up of him coming off the bench and getting me 1 point. Of course, this week he did get an assist, but fortunately I went for KDB and Jota, captain KDB, and they got me 29 points as a result. So yeah, it was a good move. I had Grealish as well, Fernandez. Yeah, it's my midfield all of a sudden that's provided me points, and I had Dallas to come off the bench. So yeah, I got a little bit lucky, but you make your own luck.
You do, don't you? Sometimes you've got to speculate to accumulate. That's what you thought when you took your 4-point hit at 26 minutes or whatever past six. I really speculated. I took an 8-point hit, Kelly.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't spend my transfers quite as wisely as yours, because I brought in Cancelo, who I was happy to see didn't even start Man City's game. And Jamie Vardy, who was nailed on to reap big points against Fulham, except Fulham. Wow. That's what happened to me. As a result, I got 1 point less than you, Jack Lang. How was your game week?
Well, if you're not happy and I only got 1 point more than you, I guess I shouldn't be that happy either. But yeah, it was okay. I got a nice green arrow, which is always the main thing I look for, even though I'm decidedly mid-table across my mini leagues. But I'm feeling optimistic still.
All right. Let's hear about Lee Bonfield and how optimistic he's feeling. 46 points, Lee. What's going on?
Oh, it could have been so different at the weekend, James. If Salah had worn a slightly smaller pair of shoes, he'd have been onside and I'd have had more captaincy points. But listen, we'll go again. I'm actually quite inspired by Kelly's aggressive transfer hit policy over the last couple of weeks. I think I'm being a bit conservative. So I think I need to take a leaf out of Kelly's book going forward.
Part of the reason that I play quite conservatively is I try and measure up the difference in pleasure and pain between seeing a player you got rid of just ahead of time do well and the pain of seeing someone you could have got do well. And I think the former is more painful. So if a player I ship out suddenly scores three goals, that's a little bit more annoying to me than a player I could have got scoring the same amount of points. So yeah, maybe I'm just a natural pragmatist.
Well, it was a difficult game week for many people, with a lot of big names blanking. Mention the fact that Jamie Vardy didn't deliver the goods, although he did get an assist against Fulham. But Fulham, the big surprises of game week 10, getting that victory away at the King Power. Next up, they're going to be taking on Man City, who had the biggest scoreline of game week 10 at home to Burnley. We'll be having a big chat about Man City later on. Our question on Twitter this week is about how many Man City players you're bringing in. I'm not sure. I think that's going to be a controversial chat, but one to look forward to later on. Big scorers anyway. Riyad Mahrez of Man City notched up 21 points. Cavani got 15. Benjamin Mendy, again of Man City, 14. Bowen and Neto with 13. Callum Wilson got 12. And West Brom's keeper Sam Johnston, well done to the 1.4% of managers who have him in their sides. He got 11 points as West Brom picked up their first victory and a clean sheet. I remember Sam Bonfield bigging up West Brom assets, and we've been chuckling about that for weeks. But you know, maybe she was really playing the long view, Lee.
Yeah, she's really playing the long game, I think, James. Although I don't think she's bringing any in, so she's not. She's kind of do as she says, not what she does.
Yeah, indeed not. Callum Wilson mentioned with 12 points last weekend. Not going to get any this week because, Jack, very big news ahead of game week 11 is the fact that the Friday night game, Villa Newcastle, has been postponed following a significant increase in COVID-19 cases at the Magpies training centre. Lots of managers have players from these two teams, particularly, I would imagine, Villa. Jack and Kelly, I know you're affected by this. What are you going to do?
Yeah, this was a funny one. So it probably doesn't reflect very well on me as a football journalist, but the first I knew of this was actually logging into FPL and seeing Grealish and Martinez with
the
a big, big old blank space under their fixture. And I suddenly thought, oh, that's not so good. So I think, like Kelly, I've got both Martinez and Grealish. I think a lot of managers will have those players. Grealish, to me, is just an obvious be patient, stick him on the bench for a week and resume as normal. But obviously Martinez causes me issues because I maybe stupidly, but bravely, you might say, went for only one starting goalkeeper this year. So my other goalkeeper is, I have to check because I'm not even sure, but it's Fulham's Fabry, who I'm not even sure is at the club anymore. So yeah, I've got no goalkeeper.
Now you need to make a keeper transfer this week.
I do need to make a keeper transfer, so it's whether I swap Fabry out. Luckily, there is a cheap option with a good fixture, and that is Johnston, who you've mentioned at West Brom, who are home to Crystal Palace. He's nice and cheap. That's it's not bold. A guaranteed clean sheet, but for 4.5, he's probably the man I'm going to bring in.
All right, you could get Kelleher.
Yeah, but that's also very short term, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't like to bring in a player who's only going to play for 2 or 3 weeks.
Kelleher, by the way, of course, the Liverpool goalkeeper who stepped in for Alisson midweek and kept a clean sheet at home to Ajax in his Champions League debut, and likely to be between the posts this weekend when Liverpool take on Wolves. More on that shortly. Kelly?
Yeah, I think this shows the importance of having a strong bench, which is very rich coming from me, because like you, Jack, I've been taking these hits, but to fight fires in my midfield, and with some to correct some of the terrible decisions I made at the beginning of the season, I've kind of left Romain Saïss on my bench, Mitchell out of the team now as well. So my bench isn't very strong. Brewster has also been on my bench and is kind of getting the odd point here and there when he comes on. So I could be on for a third week of taking a points hit just to ensure I have enough players to take to the pitch. And there's still a possibility I might not even have a keeper, but yeah, big decisions to come for me.
Of course, if you've got the cash, then Edouard Mendy at Chelsea's a lovely option. They're taking on Leeds this weekend in game week 11. Let's have a look then at what game week 11 holds for us fixture-wise. Game week 11, the first thing to say, FPL manager, is that because Villa Newcastle is postponed, there's no Friday deadline. Deadline reverts to Saturday 11 a.m, 90 minutes before the opening game now of game week 11, which is Burnley against Everton. Also on Saturday, you got Man City against high-flying Fulham. West Ham, very high-flying, take on Man United. Ooh, David Moyes derby. Chelsea Leeds. And then on Sunday, you got West Brom Palace, Sheffield United Leicester, Spurs Arsenal, Liverpool Wolves, and that's all followed up by Brighton, as they're known, against Saints on Monday evening. Crikey. Now, I'm sure we've all picked out fixtures from that we think are going to deliver us fat points. Kelly and Lee, I feel like you want to talk about Liverpool Wolves. Is that right?
Yeah, I think this is quite an intriguing fixture. Wolves' only win in the Premier League at Anfield was back in 2010. And of course, this week, the big news for them is the fact that they're without Raul Jimenez, who's been such a reliable fantasy asset for us over the past couple of seasons. So I think it makes Wolves a very interesting prospect. And whilst this fixture for me, I'm not going to be rushing to bring any Wolves players, I think it could really help owners of Daniel Podence. He would be someone to look at, because how are they going to line up front? That's the question. We saw Fabio Silva come on in that game. Only 5.2. He's owned by less than 1% of managers at the moment. He could play up front. Or maybe we could see Podence go up front. They've got some really nice options. And I also really like Neto, 5.5 he's priced out at the moment. He was involved in both of the Wolves' goals, 13 points for him. And he's actually their leading FPL points scorer now and top 10 among all the midfielders. So there's a few nice options there. So I'll be looking to see what Nuno does in this game and how Wolves are going to approach
Did you think we'll get the nod, Kelly? Because, I mean, Fabio Silva comes in the summer. He's the club record signing, but has got kind of limited minutes so far. I agree with you. I think it might be Pudence that gets it, but Fabio Silva's got to be given a chance, hasn't he?
Well, all of a sudden, at 5.2 million, he's just one we should have on our radar as this maybe third striker. What he does on Sunday will be really interesting for us because it does potentially open the door to another FPL asset for us. I don't know. Nuno's shown in the last few weeks he's very tactically astute, isn't he? All of a sudden throwing us by playing the back four, dropping Max Kilman. They're quite unpredictable, Wolves. All of a sudden, those set and forget players we had, we have to look at them in a slightly different way now with fantasy. But also from a Liverpool point of view, the fact that they're potentially going to be without Alisson makes me think if you do take a punt on one of those Wolves forwards, maybe it could pay off. Neto would be the one, or Pudence out of those two at the moment. But also Traore started, having come off the bench for so long. So all of a sudden, although it's obviously a huge blow for Raul Jimenez, and we obviously hope very speedy recovery, it sounded horrific, it could open things up from a fantasy perspective.
I'll talk more about Liverpool very, very shortly, because of course there are all sorts of names being brought into the fore, or to the fore there, by the absences of some of the more regular starters. I noticed that Andy Robertson's currently carrying a flag as well. Lee, is that something we should be concerned about? I say we as a Robbo owner.
Yeah, it could be. Noticed that he went down in that Ajax match and they were kind of heavily strapping that ankle. It's kind of testament to the sort of character he is that he kind of got up and got on with it. So I will be holding simply because I think the Wolves game is good. I think, as Kelly's mentioned, that the firepower up front without Jimenez will be significantly reduced. So therefore, the chance of a clean sheet from Robertson goes up. And he's shown a hell of a lot of attacking intent recently as well. So if you've got Robertson, despite the kind of patchwork defence that we might need to put out, including Keller, Hengoa and not Alisson, I still think Robertson's a hold.
Something for the Robertson owners to cling to is that if you're one of those people who monitors the bonus points in-game as live, Robertson was on for the full three before Liverpool conceded late last week. So. Yeah. Lee's not happy about me giving that
not
nugget
happy
out,
about that.
But I'm holding Robertson for now as well.
Me too. All right. Hey, what about Spurs Arsenal? Son and Kane were two of the most popular players in the game, two top scoring players in the game as well. However, you were saying how happy you were to have got rid, Kelly, of Son Heung-min, and a lot of people have been getting rid of Kane as well. He is once again among the most sold players this game week. And this is because of the recent change of tactics that we've seen from Jose Mourinho's side. Are we expecting more of the same in the North London derby against Arsenal? This is, after all, a fixture in which Kane has excelled over the years.
Yeah, for me, going into these fixtures, I was aware that Spurs' fixtures were going to change, but I was also aware they're top of the league. They're not just going to not score. So I had the tricky decision, which I know a lot of managers have had, of who to get rid of. I opted to stay with Kane just because I was so desperate to get in. I thought there was too many high-priced options in midfield. I wanted De Bruyne, I wanted Fernandes. At one point, I wanted Salah, but obviously I went for Jota. So I've kept Kane, and his record against Arsenal, as you said, is brilliant. He scored 10 goals in all competitions against them, and he loves this fixture. So I wanted to keep him. I don't even think Son's a bad asset for this fixture, looking at how Arsenal have been playing recently.
Looking at the way that Spurs are playing, though, under Jose Mourinho in the last couple of games against Man City and Chelsea, has he reverted to a more of a kind of classic Mourinho approach that is going to give much fewer chances to Son and Kane? Son has had just two shots over the last two matches. Kane only one. Having said that, I know this is very much his fixture. Lee?
I don't think it is, no. I think we're going to revert back to the Spurs that we saw in game weeks 1-5, where they kind of opened up. I have to say, I think Spurs and Jose Mourinho, if anything, will smell a bit of blood. I think Arsenal are really in bad form right now. There's something not right around the camp, and not scoring goals. I think they've had two goals in the last six games. One of them was a Gabriel header, the other was an Aubameyang penalty. And if I look at some of the underlying stats, the creativity is just not there for the front men. So I think Spurs will go into that. I hope that they do, given that I own Kane and Son. And of course, the big decision I've got to make as an FPL manager this week is, do I sell those to fund some of the bigger moves in midfield around Bruno Fernandes and Kevin De Bruyne and the players that we all want?
So who are you actually thinking to swap out and for whom?
So if I was to do the surgery that I'm thinking of doing on my FPL team, I would need to take Kane out to fund the Kevin De Bruyne move.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Just doing a straight swap from Son to KDB is I haven't got the money to do that, so I'd need to find some money elsewhere. But it just doesn't feel right taking Son and Kane, both out of my FPL team, ahead of that game, as Kelly ahead was suggesting. I want them for that Arsenal game, so I think I'm going to keep.
If Harry Kane isn't fixture proof, then I don't really know who is. And although there are, as Lee says, so many assets in midfield, it would take too much reshuffling now for me to go Kane to De Bruyne, especially given the Newcastle Aston Villa situation.
Kevin De Bruyne, all right, popular choice. We're going to be giving our verdict and getting the verdict of listeners as well on some of the Man City assets very, very shortly. Quick word on their neighbours, Man United, or a lengthy one if you prefer. Man United are at West Ham this weekend. Bruno Fernandes is the most reliable point scorer for you for Man United, who are wildly kind of inconsistent in terms of their results. Can you see anybody else worth having? Would you, for example, after his blistering second half away at St Mary's last weekend, consider Edinson Cavani? Of course, there is the prospect of potential disciplinary action against the Uruguayan. What are your thoughts, Lee, Jack and Kelly?
Well, Cavani wouldn't be for me. To be honest, I think Ollie got it spot on against Southampton. They were pushing Southampton back last sort of 20-25 minutes. And I think given Hasenhüttl's high pressing game, I think they were lacking a bit of tempo and a bit of they run out of steam a little bit, Saints. So Ollie kind of spotted that and thought, well, who can I put on? I'm not going to get in behind here. I need somebody with a bit more intelligence against Vestergaard and Bednarek. And he put Cavani on and got it spot on. I don't think that's going to be their usual MO, though. I still think Ollie's preferred plan B is the getting in behind with pace, with Martial, Rashford, etc. So he's a nice differential, Cavani, but he wouldn't be for me. Bruno is the one to have, and I don't have him right now, and it's hurting me every single week. Double-digit hauls every time he goes away, and no reason to suggest that's going to let up against West Ham.
Crikey. Are you going to make moves to end that pain, Lee?
I think I have to, yeah. Every week he seems to be getting goals, assists. His route to points is so multiple. And of course, he's got the penalty as well. So even in a game like West Brom at Old Trafford a couple of weeks ago, where Manchester United didn't actually play that well,
right,
got the penalty, 3 bonus points, you know, and again, a very reliable captaincy. So yes, I will be making moves to get in this week, James.
So Bruno Fernandes for Man United. West Ham, meanwhile, are all the way up in 5th, having an incredible season. Surely we should be getting loads of their players. I've got Suchek so far. Kelly, what are my other options?
Yeah, I think there are quite a few options at West Ham. I was impressed with them on Monday night. I was at the game. David Moyes admitted they didn't play that well, but all of a sudden they're picking up points and they're finding ways to hold on to leads. I don't think defensively there's too many options I would look at. I know Cresswell and Koufal have garnered the attention of a few, but attacking wise, as you said, Antonio coming back could enhance the appeal of some of the other players as well. I'd keep an eye on, say, Benrahma, maybe not for this fixture, but Benrahma, 2 assists off the bench now as well, starting to adapt to the Premier League. And Jared Bowen as well, particularly impressive at home, scored another goal against Aston Villa. There is first attacking return since game week 4, but he's cheap and he could be one to watch going forward. But I just wouldn't rule out West Ham in this fixture. And that's why, for me at the moment, Bruno Fernandes is the only real viable Manchester United asset, particularly for this fixture.
And are there any viable West Ham assets? I mean, those are prospects, but is there anyone that you're looking to bring in, Mikel Antonio, for example, before the big rush? Jack?
Well, I'm looking to bring in Koufal. I think he might solve my mini defensive crisis because I got Max Kilman in. Wolves suddenly have switched to a back four, which has been a great bit of timing. I like the look of Koufal a lot. He's always bombing up the right. Not a particularly silky player necessarily, but he does get into nice positions, he does get crosses in, seems to be playing every week. And yeah, West Ham's system, although they do have Bowen in the side, he doesn't really hug the touchline, he leaves a lot of that to Koufal. So at 4.6, I think he's a really nice option, and I think within the next 2 or 3 weeks he'll be in my side.
It's only 2 goals conceded at home in their last 4 home games for West Ham, so they're pretty tight at home. It will be difficult for Cavani, Fernandes, et al. To get through that West Ham back line. So, yeah, I'd support you on that one.
Mm. All right. Also coming up this weekend, Chelsea take on Leeds United, who have a reputation of a high-scoring attacking team, but have actually only managed 3 goals in the last 4 game weeks. And facing here a Chelsea side who are racking up the clean sheets at the moment, 4 in the last 5 game weeks. I've got Mendy. I haven't got any other Chelsea defenders. A lot of people are talking about doubling up on those blue defensive assets. Have you guys done that? Would you advise doing that? What do you think?
I like the sound of that. Yeah, I've got Chilwell, and he seems to be regularly ticking over for me, you know, 6 or 7 points. And every time I watch him, I feel almost disappointed that I've got 6 or 7 points and not a double-digit haul, because he's so attacking. And on the other side, Reece James, I think a few weeks back, there was a bit of talk about, you know, whether it would be him or Azpilicueta or who Frank's going to go with there. But he seems to have found, you know, he's made that slot his own now, Reece James. And if I look at successful passes in the opponent's half and sort by all defenders across FPL, both of those two guys are at the top. Reece James with 164 successful passes in the opponent's half in the last 4 game weeks. And then Chilwell second with 154. You've got to go all the way down to 125 before you get to Luke Ayling, who's third in that lead side there. So those two guys are getting forward at will and are getting the FPL points. So the double up is definitely on, yeah.
Can we have a quick word on Leicester, who I took that 8-point hit to bring in Jamie Vardy last week. I needed to move other people around to free up the funds for that. He kind of did okay in terms of the points. I don't think many people were impressed with his game, or Leicester's indeed, against Fulham. This time around, they're at Bramall Lane against the very, very struggling Sheffield United. And I think there are more good fixtures to come for Leicester. Should we be sticking with Vardy? If you didn't get him in last week, should you be looking to get him in for this one? What are your thoughts?
He is a pretty good replacement for Kane in terms of if you're looking for a similar budget, but it's away from home where his points are going to come. I think it's 80.3% of his points this season have come on the road. That's 10.6 points per away game. So don't worry, James. I think there are better days ahead. And looking at that fixture this weekend, it could potentially start there. He doesn't often blank for too many games in a row, does he, either? It's often an explosive point. So when he did, of course, get you the assist as well. And of course, this weekend, Sheffield United don't have a clean sheet this season, the only team not to have done it. So potentially this weekend looks on paper like the perfect game for Vardy.
Leicester didn't look great either against Fulham, did they? I know that he got the assist, but he was largely anonymous in that game. Now, I know it's Sheffield United next and it's Brighton after that and then a home game to Everton. So listen, he's got the fixtures to really punish me with this sentiment that I'm about to give. But I just see far better value at lower price brackets than Jamie Vardy right now. And I certainly won't be swapping out Kane ahead of, you know, Arsenal at home and then Crystal Palace. So he's a no from me, but I like the fixtures.
Brighton and Everton coming up after Sheffield United for Jamie Vardy and Leicester. So, yeah, that's why I guess many people have brought him in. Will he deliver this weekend? We shall see. Anyway, that's game week 11. Next up, though, long view, as we take a slightly more long view on players' prospects. Hurrah, the long view. We've got our fixed to difficulty rating chart. We got it at fancy.premierleague.com. It shows us who's got easy runs coming out and whose fixtures are looking a bit tricky. Let's focus, shall we, a little bit on the two sides on Merseyside. Everton and Liverpool. Everton got some really tricky games on the way. Yes, they are away at Burnley this weekend. Then they got Chelsea, Leicester, Arsenal, Sheffield United, and then Man City. Given the way that their form has rather fallen off a cliff, are we now at the point where we begin to consider shedding Dominic Calvert-Lewin? Jack?
Yes, I'm starting to lean that way. I'm going to leave him this week. Yeah, I'm going to leave him this week just because I've got too many other things to do. But just, it's not just the fixtures. It's the injuries that are starting to bite. It's how much of a supply line Lucas Digne is and how much of a difference it makes when he's not there. Mm. Even in midfield, they're not as slick as they were in the opening weeks of the season. James Rodriguez, you know, I don't want to dip into kind of old English football Ludditism, but not sure whether a winter fixture list is going to be particularly suitable to his talents. And so, yeah, Calvert-Lewin's been a fantastic player in the opening months of the season, but, you know, he's not at that level that makes him someone you can't drop when the fixtures turn. And yeah, I think there are good options starting to emerge at the price bracket just below that. Callum Wilson, Shea Adams is on my watch list. So the opportunity to save 2 million.
For Calvert-Lewin, who's only blanked in 2 game weeks out of the 10 so far. I mean, he has been extraordinarily reliable, even with Everton not impressing in recent weeks. Lee, what's your feeling? Do you have Dominic Calvert-Lewin?
Yeah, and I share the same concerns as Jack, really, in terms of the supply line from, obviously, Digne, but I think Coleman's been a big miss on that side, not just his leadership as captain, but also the supply line down that side. And I agree, you know, James hasn't been quite the same since his injuries a couple of weeks ago. So keep for Burnley, but then with Chelsea, Leicester, Arsenal in the three after that, given that there are other good options around that you could downgrade to reinvest that money elsewhere in your team, Man City assets, which we'll talk about in a sec, I'm sure. Yeah, reluctantly, it could be a sell for Dominic Calvert-Lewin, maybe in game week 12.
Right, I'm hanging on. Now, the other side of Liverpudlian football are, of course, Liverpool, whose fixtures, by contrast, look absolutely terrific. They're at home to Wolves, as we mentioned, this weekend. Then they've got Fulham away, Spurs at home, then Crystal Palace away, then West Brom at home, and then Newcastle. I mean, there are one or two tricky bits in there, Wolves potentially this time and Spurs in the middle, but the rest of them looking great. Now, we've all piled on Jota, or will be piling on this week. Beyond him, and given some of the absences that have been opened up in Liverpool's starting 11, what are the other options that realistically we should be looking at right now, Lee?
So without any bias whatsoever, I'm thinking of tripling on Liverpool over the next sort of four or five game weeks. I've got Salah in my team, and right. And it pains me to say, I have looked at a strategy that takes some money out of Salah and reinvests it in the likes of Bruno and Kevin De Bruyne. But my heart and my head are in alignment with each other on that, and I just can't bring myself to bring out Salah, especially with those fixtures. I mean, captaincy for game week 12, Fulham looks absolutely right for Salah, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, maybe. I thought that with Vardy last week. Well, if you have Jota, who's outscoring everybody at the moment in terms of points, do you need Salah? Do you need to splash 12 million plus on Mohamed Salah?
Well, that was my strategy, James. It was to take Salah down to Jota to reinvest in the other two folks in De Bruyne and Fernandes. But I will be bringing in Jota anyway. He would be part of my triple up. I just think he's too good to ignore at that price point and with that form. He's now got 9 goals in 14 games in all competitions, which incidentally equals the start that Salah made in his Liverpool career, but in less minutes. So you could argue he's had a better start to his Liverpool career than even, you know, the legendary Mo Salah did. So he's got to come in. And the double Liverpool attack with Jota and Salah, I think, gives me some really nice options, not just in my FPL team, but for captaincy as well over the next four or five game weeks. I'd be happy to have them both.
Can you afford that?
I can afford that, yeah. But it does mean missing out, like I say, on, you know, don't have Bruno Fernandes right now, as I mentioned before in the podcast, is a hole I'm looking to fix. It would mean going without Kevin De Bruyne, which, given the fixtures, does look like an opportunity missed. However, with Kevin De Bruyne's ownership in FPL right now, he's pretty low owned for Kevin De Bruyne. I mean, this is a guy we're used to seeing 50 plus ownership, but he's in this kind of 20% bracket, I think, right now, which, if he hauls, therefore, against Fulham, and I appreciate a lot of those 20% of managers will have him as captain,
right,
but if he hauls, it won't hurt me quite as much as not having maybe Salah or Bruno. So maybe it's a bit of a, I don't know, maybe I'm being a bit conservative. I don't know. Maybe, again, I've got to take more leaves out of Kelly's book and be a bit more aggressive. But I like the Liverpool double up in attack, and I'll probably put them alongside Robertson as well.
But it's an interesting point, Mo Salah. Having him effectively means that you've got to not be able to afford one of the other big hitters either, Fernandes or Kevin De Bruyne. Which do you think of those three is the most expendable, Jack and Kelly?
For me at the moment, because I've got Jota, I feel like I have a bit of Liverpool cover.
Right.
So I feel a little bit better about it. That was the decision I had to make last week, because I took Salah out the week before, and I knew as the news came back that he was probably going to be back for Brighton. I'm not going to lie, I was really, really concerned, especially when I saw he'd scored against Brighton, obviously only for it to be disallowed, as Lee mentioned. Sorry to bring that up again. But I feel covered. Now I've got Man City cover. My midfield for the weekend is Jota, De Bruyne, Ziyech and Fernandes, and I'm happy with that. I always have a bit of concern about not having Salah, but Jota is just a really nice way to ensure I have Liverpool cover, even if it isn't my number one choice as such.
Right. Jack?
I think the idea of cover is correct, but I also think with Salah, it's a bit of a recency effect. So Salah has been scoring points, but he hasn't got one of those classic double figure hauls we know he's capable of since game week 4. So since then he's had a 7, a 6, an 8 and a 9, which is fine, but not, you know, stratospheric. But with Salah, you always get the feeling that a hat-trick even is only a matter of time. And I think when that occurs and Salah scores, you know, gets a 20-point game week, and hopefully I have him as captain, touch wood, I think that will realign people's thinking, because, you know, Jota has been an amazing asset to Liverpool, both in real life and in fantasy. But it's hard to match Salah's ability to score two or three goals in a game, 2 or 3 weeks in a row. And the fact that I'm going to mostly have him as captain, hopefully when it happens, I'll be able to tap into those big points and finally claw a bit of ground back on the Jota lovers.
Up next, we'll move on to this week's Twitter question, which is all about Man City and what our plans are for their players after their imperious 5-0 victory over Burnley. This week's tweet, everybody, we asked, after that 5-0 over the Claretts, is it time to double or even triple up on Manchester City assets? And if so, who are you signing? Wow, let's have a look at some of the responses to this. Example, it says, Sun out, Mahrez in for sure. Mahrez, of course, with a hat-trick against Burnley. Vishnu says, yeah, already bought in Mahrez for Ziyech and made him captain, along with having Kevin De Bruyne already. Lewis says KDB is essential, but doubling or tripling when the squad changes that much every week is a massive risk. One that could pay off or one that could leave you in trouble. Yep, that's what they call risks. George says, I got Cancelo last weekend and he didn't play. With the awkward rotation that Pep does, it'll be impossible to predict who will and won't play. That's a very fine point, George. Cameron, I currently have Sterling, as I have a feeling he's got big returns potential this weekend. How long have you been saying that for, Cameron? But long term, I'll be switching to Kevin De Bruyne. Mohamed, yes, I already have Kevin De Bruyne. Planning to bring Walker because he's the only rotation-proof player in the City squad. Well, this is the thing. City, great players, big scoreline this weekend, but a manager that loves playing Pep Roulette. And when you've got a busy schedule like the one they're facing in December, City, it's really hard to know who's going to be in his first 11, even if they have got incredibly favourable home matches in the next five game weeks. They're hosting Fulham, West Brom and Newcastle in that time. Wow. I myself brought in Cancelo last week and got burnt by the Pep Roulette. I'm not sure I would. I do see the case for Kevin De Bruyne. What do we all think? Who are the must-haves? Who are the players to go for Man City? Kelly?
Well, having said how brave I was with my four-point hits, one thing I'm not so brave with is Manchester City. I had Foden for a few weeks, as I said, and I just had to get rid of him because, like I said, he got an assist off the bench, but I couldn't deal with the heartache. I don't think there is anyone, maybe Edison, that's the only rotation-proof player within that squad, and I can't afford him, otherwise maybe I'd bring him in. So I will just be sticking with Kevin De Bruyne. I would like to bring in a defender. I agree that Walker is probably the most rotation-proof option, but I don't think you bringing in Cancelo was that much of an outlandish decision, James, because if you'd asked me a week ago, who would you bring in? I would have said Cancelo. So I'm not bold enough when it comes to this. So maybe the other guys will be better informed.
What do you think about the notion that Sterling's time is about to be upon us?
It's a difficult one with Sterling at the moment, isn't it? Because I noticed Pep's comments recently. Yeah. I think it was after the last game week. He was talking about the fact that in a very unlike Pep way, he's usually very pragmatic and he talks tactics and strategy. But this was a bit more emotional. It was a bit more about attitude and a bit more about application. And he was talking about the fact that if you're scoring goals and you're performing, then you'll be in the team, full stop. So, of course, you know, Mahrez gets the hat trick last week. Doesn't start for them in the Champions League. So I think he's a great pick for the weekend, Mahrez, by the way.
Do you?
I do, yeah, absolutely. But whereas on the other side of the coin, I actually don't think Sterling, I think Sterling owners should be concerned because I don't think Pep's comments were directed specifically at Sterling, but there was certainly an undertone of, you know, Raheem, pull your socks up a little bit because he's not been in form and therefore I wouldn't pick him in FPL.
All right, well, he didn't get picked for the PL this last weekend against Burnley and he blanked in the four previous game weeks. Jack, Man City assets?
I'm having a nightmare with this, James. I mean, I've still got Foden and it's been 5 weeks since he started. So in the last five game weeks, he's played a total of 105 minutes. Every week, I think, okay, well, he's got to start this week. He hasn't started the last three. Hasn't started the last four. He must start. Plays every week in the Champions League, playing absolutely brilliantly. When he comes on in the Premier League, he looks really busy, really creative, involved in the final third. So I'm almost certain that the moment I take him out, he's going to get the start and he's going to score two and assist one. But at the same time, I can't keep a player who's not a guaranteed starter. So it's just really grating at me. And then defensively, Cancelo is on my list. But I think this fixture, particularly Fulham, it looks like the kind of fixture that Ben Mendes Benjamin Mendy is just made for, because he's someone who stretches the play a bit more. He whips crosses in. Fulham are going to be defending in numbers. Mendy rested in midweek in the Champions League. It's the kind of game that I can easily see Mendy sticking in the side for. So yeah, I really don't know what to do. I think maybe Foden to Mahrez is an interesting shout, but it's a little bit short term again,
and it's a risk as well because you just don't know. So they have lovely fixtures and they've got great players. Is there any safe route then into Man City apart from Kevin De Bruyne, and is it worth getting him in? 10 points, of course, just last weekend. I could have had more.
First question, no, there's no safe route at all. I don't
apart from
it.
Kevin. Is Kevin a safe route?
Yeah, I think he is, just because he's so fundamental to the way they play. He's such a bellwether for that team. When he's not there, you really notice it, not just in the quality on the ball, but in the drive. He's a real leader, even though he's not the captain. He's the guy who sets the standards in a similar way to Fernandes at Man United. And I don't think Pep would approach any game of any note without counting on him. You know, he might get the odd rest, but 80%, 90% of the games, I think he will start, and we know what he can do.
Cut to scene two, team sheet against Fulham on the bench. All right. Whatever you do, remember the deadline for this weekend is now 11 o'clock on Saturday. If you want to get in touch with us, hashtag FPL pod is the way to do it. We'll finish off, though, this podcast next up by checking on what transfers, which could take a while in Jack's case, people are going to be doing ahead of game week 11. And also, above all, who's going to be the captain? Right then, Jack, you've got your pen in hand. You've probably made a short list of players. Who are you actually going to go with? Job one is the goalkeeper, yeah? How many transfers are you going to make?
Broadly speaking, I've been tinkering away here and I've got two options. The first is to swap Martinez for Mendy in goal, which is a slight upgrade. Leaves me with a bit of funds, but it does mean I can't really afford Mahrez without making a third transfer.
Yeah.
So that is route one. Martinez for Mendy, Foden to Mahrez, and then try and save a little bit of money elsewhere, perhaps by downgrading Calvert-Lewin a week earlier than I would like. The second option is to go a little bit more conservative, Foden to Mahrez.
Yep.
And then swap Martinez for a goalkeeper I can afford,
which would McCarthy?
Be Sam Johnston.
Oh, right. Shout out. Cool.
Wow. West Brom goalkeeper.
Oh, I would go for McCarthy. Oh, what's putting you off lot. McCarthy, Jack?
I don't know. I don't like Southampton's defence as much as some other people.
Okay.
As West Brom's. You're joking.
Clean cheating, yeah, West Brom's.
Maybe I'm just being blinded by the one fixture. Maybe I need to take a longer view. I mean, long term, I think McCarthy is a better option, but I like the idea of having Johnston for Crystal Palace at home.
It's bold and it's dashing, Jack, and I think you should do it. Kelly, what move are you going to make?
Bizarrely, I actually think Jack might be a little bit more advanced in his decision making than I am, because I've got similar headaches. As it stands, I'm looking at my team now and I don't have a goalkeeper, and I'm probably going to have Brewster playing to get 1 point off the bench again. So I will be taking a third consecutive minus four. I think I'll probably do Martinez to McCarthy. I would like to keep Martinez really for beyond this game week, but I've got Button as my substitute and I've only got 0.5 in the bank, and there's no one really that I want for 4.5. So I'd rather do a kind of like for like Martinez to McCarthy. And then maybe I need to upgrade Romain Saiss and play four at the back. Actually, no, it'll still only be three at the back.
All right, we'll leave you with that, Kelly. It's going to be a while for you.
It's going to be a busy few days. Okay. Leave it at that.
Lee, have you got a transfer that you're definitely going to do?
Well, at the risk of blowing the mind of the listener, I'm also kind of thinking quite strategically about maybe a minus four or a minus eight, because that seems to be the theme of the day. I've already done one transfer. So Hakim Ziyech, how fickle we are. I looked at him over the last couple of weeks and I watched the Chelsea games and I like him. I think he's a really nice player, but I don't feel like his FPL ceiling is that high. I feel like a couple of assists maximum. So for 8 point whatever he is, I want to downgrade him. So that's where Jota's come in. So I've done that transfer already. Ziyech to Jota is done. And I'm happy to have the triple Liverpool going into that Wolves fixture followed by Fulham. That leaves me with enough money in the bank to do Son to either KDB or to Fernandes. So I'm considering both of those guys in, but I'm also considering leaving Son right where he is for Arsenal at home. So that's my thinking over the next few days, is which one of those three do I want? And if I do want one of them, it'll be for a hit as well. So I'm currently thinking I might just stick on Son.
I'm so glad I don't have your problems.
There you go, mind blown.
Yeah. Well, let's amaze people even further now with your captaincy choices. KDB, Vardy, Bruno, or Mo Salah, or somebody else. What do you got, Jack? Who's currently wearing your armband?
Well, I don't know who's going to be in my squad yet, but Mahrez is presenting himself.
Really? Mahrez? Who's your vice-captain is my question then, because...
Probably Salah.
Right. Okay. Salah, because Wolves at home, you feel Mo Salah. Yeah.
Well, Salah is never out of the top two or three captaincy options in any week.
Okay. And, you know, Bruno Fernandes has been really the most reliable one, and everybody captained him last time and he delivered. He's at West Ham. Would he be your pick, Kelly? Are you thinking KDB against Fulham? What's your thing?
KDB against Fulham for me. Yeah. I may not be decided on a lot of things, but that's one thing I am set on.
Okay. And Lee?
It would be KDB for me if I bring him in. I'm kind of disappointed Jack's not going for Johnston captain, but maybe that's for another podcast. For me, it'll be Mo Salah or it'll be Harry Kane. We spoke before in the podcast about how I think Jose is going to revert to Spurs of game week 1-5 and really go for it against Arsenal. And if he does, I think Kane will be in the point. So it's between Kane and Salah for me.
Wow. I dropped Kane for Vardy because that run of fixtures. So I have to captain Vardy now against Sheffield United. But now I'm just thinking about whether to flip-flop back onto Harry. Ah, it's not easy, FPL, but we love it. Many, many thanks to you all for such valuable insight and contributions then as we prepare our teams for Saturday's 11 o'clock deadline for game week 11. Best of luck to you all. If you want more content ahead of the deadline, of course, there's loads over at fantasy.premierleague.com, including the FPL show, which will be joined in by the other half of the FPL family, Sam Bonfield-Lee, this Thursday.
Yes, we'll both be on this
one. Oh, you both on. Lovely. Nice one.
Yes.
Very good. For this show, though, that's it. Good luck, as I say, to everybody for Game Week 11. Many thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next week.